You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 93 as we edge closer to that magic 100 mark.
93,
it's incredible, isn't it? That there is the voice of Jeff Hutton, who joins me today. Jeff, how are we doing?
Very well, hello everyone.
And my name is Matt Hall, as always, here with Jeff for the Ravens Weekly podcast. Let's get started then, Jeff, with the Solihull match. And it was nice to be back at home, wasn't it, after the festive period. And obviously that trip to Maidenhead, no game on the 2nd of January. So actually our first game since the 28th of December.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Obviously great to get back to winning ways, Matt. Like you say, first game of 2022.
It was, and obviously the weather on the day was absolutely atrocious, wasn't it? So fair play. I think there's a photo Josh got on Twitter, which is all the fans, the brave fans that stood on the terrace behind the dugouts in that second half.
They weren't just Solihull, we had all the Bromley fans on
the
other
side. Yeah, yeah. I think Alex is on there, Paul Wildman's on there, amongst others as well. So yeah, fair play to all of them. I'm pretty sure they got soaked, but they'll argue it was well worth it, Jeff. A really, really good result against a good side. Great for Scott Wagstaff to bag on his debut, wasn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, though, he had a glorious chance, didn't he? One of his first touches earlier on in the game as well.
Yeah, in the first minute.
But oh, I was like, here we go. And I remember, who was a player? We had another player like that. This was away from home. Barrow away. You know who I'm thinking?
Oh, I do.
This is awful. This is how negative I could get sometimes.
No, I tell you who it was.
Barrow away.
It was Corey Whiteley.
It was Corey.
He's back with us now.
So roll reverse anyway. But for me, it was one of those moments where I flashed. The moment that happened, new signing, one of his first touches, and he misses. I flashed back to that.
And then he put it right, didn't he? As did Corey Whiteley with 100%. A brilliant goal, ironically, against Solihull a couple of years ago. But anyway, that's beside the point. It was a 2-1 victory for Bromley on the day with goals from Scott Wagstaff and Michael Cheek. James Ball pulling one back for Solihull in the second half. Let's catch up then with the commentary from the day. Not looking comfortable at the back here as Ball is struggling. Back into the box. Here's Alexander Wagstaff, and it's in! And Scott Wagstaff caps his Bromley debut with a goal in the first half. Forwards here and with an advantage in number as it's worked through towards Alexander in the box here. George Alexander squares it to Cheek, and it's 2-0! And Michael Cheek adds his 15th goal of the season. Excellent work from George Alexander. Unselfish play. And the two combine once again, and Bromley have a second. It will be Osborne to deliver, as he has done. Osborne with the ball into the box. It's a header, a goal, and it's in. Well, it was brilliant, wasn't it, for Bromley to grab a second goal just before half time. They do say in football, don't they, that is the best time to score, right before the half time break in injury time. It disrupts the opposition's team talk, doesn't it?
Perfect, absolutely perfect timing, like you say. And I must admit, though, when Alexander went through, it was like touch and go. Like, I mean, fair play to him, set up the assist. I would have loved to see him score as well, but I didn't know what he was going to do, so I was properly on the edge.
Had a hand in both goals, didn't he? Alexander was brilliant.
Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. And also, we must shout out Chris Bush and Luke Coulson, which we did on the commentary on the day. Two goal line clearances. If either of them go in, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, oh, massive. Yeah, absolutely superb.
Absolutely brilliant result for Bromley. 3 points in the bag, which is the most important thing. Back to winning ways ahead of the trip to Aldershot Town in the FA Trophy.
It was third, didn't it, at the time?
It did, yes. I believe that results
that's
in the week.
There.
Yeah, I think so. But it's very tight up there, isn't it, in that area of the league. So now we move on to the FA Trophy, and we're going to catch up on all the stuff Aldershot related later on. On to community, Jeff. And it's been a very busy couple of weeks for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We've been back in schools, which has obviously been a challenge during COVID and the pandemic, etc. But a massive thank you to Harris Primary Academy in Orpington, who've been brilliant working with us. And like you say, Matt, that's one of our first sessions back in a school this week.
It is. Shout out to Coach Ali, Coach Stewart and Coach Adam, who led the sessions this week. I popped down there.
What was the first name?
It was great to see. It was great to see Mr. Gearing, who worked with us on getting the sessions into place. And the kids absolutely loved it. We had years 1 to 3 on Wednesday and years 4 to 6 yesterday. And they were just absolutely buzzing. And the teachers were saying the day after the first lot went in, they came into school buzzing the next day, which is incredible.
They say regulations and procedures and stuff permitting. Hopefully we've got 3 or 4 players headed in there this week, which would be brilliant.
I think the teachers were just as excited as the kids. So that'll be really good if we can get that sorted. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. And, the weather actually has been fairly kind to us. It is a grass surface, so the coaches and the kids were happy with that. But, yeah, brilliant first week of those sessions, and we look forward to many more.
And obviously we've had the pleasure of working with Community Links Bromley and London Youth, Matt, on a new initiative at the on the stadium pitch.
Yeah, so this is targeted at getting young people active, and like you say, Jeff, we've partnered up with Community Links and London Youth on this, and we're absolutely delighted. We had 19 8 to 13 year olds sign up for this programme, many of which attended our half camp for the free school meals back in December, and the session was a huge success. The weather was terrible, but the attendance wasn't. We had 13 turn up out of the 19 that signed up, which is absolutely brilliant, and we've had emails from the others saying that they're going to be back this week, so we're looking forward to a full house this week, and it's really exciting. Big thank you to Community Links and Steve in particular, and John and the team at London Youth. It's brilliant to be able to give something back.
Obviously, moving on slightly to the youth section, but actually probably back to Saturday, we had the pleasure of welcoming the under-10 Rooks, was it?
Yeah, and Dave Payne, the manager, and we also had Seth as well, who was joining. Big thank you to Seth's mum, Michelle, and Dave Payne as well, the coach, for helping us to arrange all of this. And the really nice thing was, Jeff, that Dave actually really wanted Seth to feel part of the day. Even though he isn't in the Bromley under-10s, he kept a spare kit behind for him and lent it to him for the day. And it really made him feel part of it. And I've seen lots of Facebook posts online and lots of lovely feedback about Seth. And it's a lovely story because this young lad was in our recent SEN tournament that we did with Bromley School Games and some local schools. And then he was able to come down here and be a mascot and take half-time penalties. And I've seen a video going around with some commentary on it, which is brilliant. So,
Not yours, though, is it? It's not, unfortunately.
You know, it's, no. It's brilliant to be able to give something back.
And some of those emails, they loved and photos, it. Mate. That's what it's all about. It was absolutely brilliant to see.
And it's wonderful always to be able to welcome these people back. You know, we had the whole year last year where we weren't able to have anyone in the ground. And it's brilliant to be able to give these kids and these young people the experiences that they'll never forget.
Got a fair few updates, actually. A big thank you to Sue, Charlotte, Dave and Beverly, who amongst them all, we've managed to sort of compile a very quick update. I just want to run through. Obviously, our under-13s and under-14s Kent Youth League teams, congratulations in order. They're both through to the Kent Cup quarter-final. Also, the big one is the girls' under-14s. They're in a semi-final. That's this Sunday, Matt, at Hayes Lane.
They've got special visitors, haven't they?
They have got special visitors because our women's team don't have a fixture. They're not in action. So they are coming down to back the girls on the day on Sunday.
That's incredible. What motivation that will be for these young girls. That is absolutely fantastic.
In terms of role models, it's amazing. It'll be superb.
And isn't it a bit of role reversal from the FA Cup game, Jeff, when all the youth sides came down to support
them,
the women's team?
And
what a difference that made on the day. Let's hope it has the same effect for the under-14 girls.
100%. It's a busy Sunday that day. We've got 3 games on the stadium pitch this Sunday. We've got the Kent Youth League boys under-15s. They're up against Lewisham Borough at 10. We've then got the under-16 Invictors on the pitch again. Orpington Rovers at 12:30, and then, like you say, Matt, the big one at 3 o'clock, Bromley FC under-14 girls against Tunbridge Juniors, and that is in the Kent County Cup semi-final. Obviously, on top of that, best of luck to all our teams home and away. We've got we've obviously got the teams on the rear community pitches, 11 aside and junior pitch, also up at our pitches at Bishop Justice, and obviously there's a number of teams playing away from home as well. So massive best wishes to everybody involved this weekend, and obviously another big thank you to Brownhill Insurance, Ronin Marketing and Acorn Book Club for their continued support of the youth teams.
Best of luck, everyone. And we are now joined by another guest, and that is Tom Beaumont, head of the academy at Bromley Football Club. Tom, thank you for joining us once again. 2022 is upon us. All the students and the players have come back from the Christmas break. How's it been?
Yeah, well, January is January, but it's been a good return. Obviously, all of the students, like you said, are keen to get back to training, but it is exam season for some of our classes. So, yeah, a real jump back straight into the deep end and try and get our fitness back up, but also get ourselves prepared for those external examinations.
And just prior to the Christmas break, moving back a little bit, we had the fantastic run in the FA Youth Cup, which was really something special. And each year, it just seems to get better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic testament to the hard work of all of the staff and players, but also an indicator of our growth as a football club, and that we are continuing to reach stages of the competition that we're trying to better ourselves each year, and we're showing that we can compete with some of the best teams around the country. So it's always nice a nice measurement to see where we are, and I think we're really showing now that we're a force in the South.
And there's a lot of talent in there, isn't there, in the academy in general. We've seen some of the players actually in and around the first team training, and of course the match at Dover in the FA Trophy, a lot of them featured and made their professional debuts, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's exactly what we want to see. It's that's the target we set the guys when they come in as 16-year-olds, and that's what they want to pit themselves against the best, both externally outside the club, but also against all of the best players that we have on the books here. So for them to get a chance to actually put a Bromley shirt on as a first team player and represent the and be picked under as one of the 16 best players available on that day is a great achievement, and hopefully it's a sign of more things to come.
And talking of more things to come, the trials are coming up next month in February, aren't they? And hopefully going to get some more talent on board.
Yeah, we're very much so whilst we find ourselves in the middle of this year and the middle of the season, we start to turn our eyes to next year. So for any boys or girls that are in kind of coming towards the end of their schooling and are in year 11 now and they're looking for their next step, then we become one of those options. So the trial or the first assessment period that we use is the February half term, where young people that have applied get a chance to come and see the football club, see the development of the club, and then have a chance to play some football, and we get to have a look and suggest where we think you'll feature within the academy setup. So the academy trial application is actually on the club website, so even if you just Google Bromley FC and then go to the academy page, you'll find the link there and an online digital application form, and once that's filled in, you can be sure that you're going to get all of the necessary information about and be invited in for the assessment periods and then the interviews, and then everything that goes into becoming the Bromley Academy scholar starts by filling that application online.
And for these scholars, finally, it's not just the footballing facilities here, is it? The academy this year, or last year I should say, this term, as this school year even, has moved into the new building. How have the students responded to that? It must be great for the staff as well.
It is absolutely fantastic. I can't overemphasize the value of having the education and classes here on the site of the football club. It means that this is well and truly the scholars' home. For everything, for every part of their involvement and every day that they spend with the football club, they live now on Hayes Lane, BR290. This is their home, and it's brought everything together. It means that we've seen the teaching staff and the coaching staff become closer, not just as friends and as colleagues, but their day-to-day practice is ever improving, because instead of emails and conversations that are having to happen by a phone, they now happen in the same office. They happen more regularly. It means that everyone has a far greater understanding of how everyone else works, and that only works to improve collaboration, but just the smooth and effective running of the academy is vastly improved for the staff and for the students. You know, these are innovative classrooms. A lot of time is spent thinking, you know, a classroom in 1900 was a load of straight desks facing the blackboard at the front. Now, nothing in the world is the same as it was 100 years ago. So we shouldn't be building classrooms that replicate that and look the same way. So now, for guys to get a chance to come in and see that, and for anyone that's looking as a potential applicant, you'll see that our classrooms, you know, they have four walls still, but the technology that's in them is high end. The tables and the arrangement is designed for them to be forward thinking and not just what's always been, but forward thinking, future thinking, and preparing for the future in a way that, you know, is inspiring. That's how I see it anyway, that it's an inspiring format to be learning in, and hopefully will encourage, you know, we're inspiring these young people, but we're going to get better results, not just academically, but on the pitch as well, because we're just encouraging people to think in a different way.
Well, Tom, exciting times ahead for the Academy. Thanks for catching up.
My pleasure.
And then, Jeff, moving back onto first team matters. And we were delighted this week to catch up with someone who has firmly, I think, established themselves as a fan's favourite, and is one of the nicest blokes I think I've met in football.
And it was his birthday, wasn't it?
It was his birthday at the weekend. And that is, of course, the one and only Mark Cousins. I caught up with him earlier this week. Here's what he had to say. Mark Cousins, great to have you here with us again. Thanks for joining us today. Let's look back, I guess, first at that win against Solihull. It was a hard-fought win and a really valuable 3 points. Great to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, it was a very good win against Solihull. They're a good team. We had a game plan of how we were going to play against them in terms of they like to dominate possession, and we set traps, and I think some of our best chances in the first half came from setting traps. I think Wade could have had one earlier on, and I think in the first 10 minutes, but yeah, it was a great win, especially against, like, it was seen as a bit of a 6-pointer really. I think they could have gone above us if we'd lost, and now we've obviously extended our lead over them.
As well as a side who don't concede many goals, so to get the two on the day, it seemed better.
Yeah, they had a very good clean sheet record coming into the game, so yeah, but I think that's what we've always got in our team, goals. I think very rarely we don't score in a game. I think Maidenhead and maybe another one this season, but yeah, we normally always get on the score sheet, so yeah, it was good to obviously score goals against a very good defensive team.
And Scott Wagstaff with the goal on the debut as well, it was good for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wag's a very good addition to the squad, and yeah, the energy that he brings to midfield, I think that'll help all the midfielders out, I think, with his energy. And yeah, obviously if he can contribute with goals as well, that helps everyone.
As a goalkeeper, you and the defence will be frustrated not to get the clean sheet, but there was some brilliant goalkeeping, some brilliant defending. I'm thinking in particular headers off the line from Chris Bush and Luke Coulson to seal those 3 points in the end, just as important as the goals.
Exactly, yeah, that's what it takes to get over the line, I think, get wins. And yeah, Coulson's one at the end was fantastic, along with Bush's at the start of the game, because obviously if that goes in, it could be a totally different game. So yeah, they're all very important, and yeah, contribute to get the 3 points.
So pretty much at the midway point of the season now, personally, how are you feeling so far?
Yeah, feeling very good. I suffered a bit through like October, November time with a knee injury, managed to get through that, and then had a short break over Christmas, and really that like helped me with my body recovering. Really looking forward to the next part of the season now. I think we've got 22 games in the league to go, plus obviously the FA Trophy. And yeah, we're in a great position.
Yeah, I was going to say the team are in a good position, and it's very tight at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. It's going to be an exciting finish.
Yeah, I think the next couple of months will be crucial to see what teams are going to be up there. But even you look back at last season, we may not have been in the playoffs going into, or we weren't in the playoffs until the last game of the season. So I think all teams will be going for it, especially in the top half of the table. So we know it's still very tight, and we have to stay on it, and we have to keep getting those wins.
And probably this time hoping for not such a dramatic finish to the season.
Hopefully not, but if it happens that way, it does. And hopefully it'll be a bit higher up this time.
And now away from the league, obviously this weekend we travel to Walshot Town again, this time in the FA Trophy. Does that competition have much in terms of your history?
I think I got to the quarters or semi-finals before with a couple of previous clubs, but you want the end goal is obviously Wembley, and the club's already been there once, and unfortunately it didn't win there, but so it'd be fantastic for everyone involved if we could get to Wembley and win.
And finally, touching on something completely away from the first team, Brandon Daly, the goalkeeping coach, has started, along with the community trust, the weekly goalkeeper sessions. The numbers are going through the roof. It's brilliant to see so many young goalkeepers getting involved, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it broke the record number last week for the amount of keepers that came in. And as a keeper myself, that's really good to see it. It's because so many young players, they want to be the goal scorers. And I think it's changing now. I think a lot of younger kids want to be goalkeepers, and that's brilliant to see.
Mark, thanks for your time as always.
No, it's cheers, man.
Great to hear from Mark there. I mean, I think we were trying to work it out just before, Matt. It must be obviously be slowly becoming, well, even slower if I can answer, becoming a centurion.
I think he's on about around 82 to 83 appearances in the league. So he's got to be close to 90 in all competitions. So, yeah, this season, touch wood, we'll be seeing Mark Cousins as a Bromley centurion, which is brilliant. I can't, it's probably been a while since we had a goalkeeper that's achieved that. I'm not sure. I don't think Alan Julian got there, did he? Over the couple of years he was with us. I think it's been a fair while since we've had a goalkeeper. Perhaps someone can...
Gareth Williams, Andy Walker, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it's, maybe someone can enlighten us on that. But it's brilliant. He's a fantastic character. He really is the nicest guy. And I just want to touch on something we talked about earlier, Jeff. The mascots on Saturday, the under-10 team, the goalkeeper, which is Dave Payne's son. Dave was just saying, wasn't he, just how good Mark was with him, and how much Dave's son actually looks up to Mark. And a lot of young goalkeepers in the club, you know, we had one the other week from the youth section that wanted to get his glove signed by Mark, and it's brilliant to see, isn't it?
It's a real funny one. We've got such a good group, and I think some of them with their experience understand maybe their stature for some of the young players, and that they are role models and how they have an influence. And I think some of them genuinely sort of forget, or maybe aren't that aware. So when you do have those little moments in the tunnel, and literally you've got the kid literally looking up at the player, and then when you do those player appearances and that, you do see it click for some of the players, don't you, Matt? Even if it's in an assembly or something like that, you see where it sort of actually hits home and dawns on them their actual, you know, the fact they are a role model.
It's absolutely brilliant to see. And you know, you say it with the players, it's the same with the coaches when we've gone into the schools this week. As soon as the kids see that Bromley badge, the eyes light up. Oh, it's Bromley FC. It's wonderful. And yeah, plenty more to come, I'm sure.
You had the pleasure of catching up with Andy, as usual?
I did, another
different
pleasure.
Set this time, is that in his new office?
Yes, it is. It is indeed nice. In the new office with a multitude of backgrounds. So this is background number two, and this is Andy Woodman on events recent and events in the very near future. Andy Woodman, thanks for joining us once again. Let's take a look back then at Saturday's match against Solihull. A 2-1 victory on the day, and actually some of the goal appearances probably just as important as the goals, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. I thought we defended really well, made some important clearances at important times. But that said, I still stand by that we probably should have probably a couple more goals in front at half-time. But they're a good team. Look, you know, we've got to pay respect to these teams. They're decent teams. But I thought we'd done a really good job on them. I thought we were very professional, workmanlike with what we tried to do. We worked all week on a certain way of how we were going to try and win the game. And pleasing for me, it came off the way it did.
And we've already talked about Scott Wagstaff and his debut. Another one making their league debut was Palace Francis, brought on in the second half. What were your thoughts on
this? Yeah, Palace, he got his first sort of run out, really. He had a moment, really, where he, in training all week, that moment's presented itself to him in training, and he's ripped it up and got and smashed it in the top corner. I think he was probably just trying to play for the team probably a little bit too much on that moment when he had the ball. But it's just good to get him, you know, into the team and get him some minutes. He's still a young boy. So he'll be okay. He'll be one that's dipped in and dipped out like most of the youngsters, and hopefully as we go forward he'll feature more and score some more goals for us.
And of course Monday was back to training. How's everyone done this week?
Yeah, it's been a really good week. We've worked very hard. We know how important this Aldershot game is. We're looking forward to the game at Aldershot. We know it's going to be a tough game. The manager there has got on playing some, you know, pretty solid, stellar football. And we know what to expect going there. But we want to sort of continue our run in this competition.
And when you say we know what to expect, it was just a couple of months ago that actually we were down at Aldershot and a tough game on that day, an entertaining one for the fans. I'm not sure you would have seen it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of games at Aldershot and I think they've both been 3-2. So I'd quite like a 1-0 if possible, or a 2-0 to us. I think it's one of those places, it's always going to be, you could probably argue it's a bit of a derby match in a weird way. It'd be tough. I'm looking forward to seeing their manager. He's a very nice man and his team are playing well. and hopefully you know, we can come out triumph on the day.
After that, it's away to Grimsby, but then two really big home games to finish off the month. And I guess for all of the games now, as we always say, the support's going to be so important, isn't it?
Yeah, the support's going to be massive, and I think they're quite nice games. My phone's been buzzing with people trying to get tickets for those home games, so that's always quite nice because it means we've got, you know, a good little time coming up. But yeah, they're going to be tough. We could say that Stockport's going to be tough, Grimsby's going to be tough. Look, they're all going to be tough. We found that at Maidenhead. So we'll be approaching every game as we've done the first half of the season, and you know, trying to keep ourselves in the pack.
And they're just, everyone says it, but there are no easy games in this league, are there?
No. I wish there was. make my Saturdays a lot more enjoyable. But yeah, we've just got to keep concentrating on what we're doing, and then we know what we've got to do, what target we've got to hit, and we're on course. So we've just got to keep churning out the results.
Brilliant, as always, to catch up with Andy. It's always an entertaining interview. There's always a couple of chuckles. And I know Josh behind the camera loves a chuckle as well. moving on to something slightly different now. We caught up again with commercial manager Emma Santa, who was on the podcast, I think, just before Christmas. And this time it was on player sponsorship. Now, it's something we've obviously done for a number of years here at Bromley Football Club. And it really does make the players feel loved. So I know a number of you have actually supported and got behind a player this season in terms of the player sponsorship. But for those of you that...
I think a big thank you to all those who have previously, because I know it's
absolutely
COVID. It's always been very much a challenge with regard to that interaction between the player and the person who supported them. So I know it's been difficult. So a big thank you to those that have stuck with us throughout that.
So here's a bit more about player sponsorship for those that might be interested in getting involved from commercial manager Emma Santa. Well, it went down a treat last time. So we've got Emma Santa, commercial manager at Bromley Football Club, back on the podcast. Emma, welcome back. It's your second appearance now. Today we're going to talk about player sponsorship. So for those people that aren't aware, what exactly is that?
Well, people have the opportunity to sponsor a player of their choice. So they might have a favourite player or one their son or daughter particularly likes, which actually means that they get their shirt at the end of the season. So the shirts that are available are the white home kit, the red and the blue away kit. Obviously, some have already been taken, but there are some still available. As well as actually getting the shirt at the end of the season, you get your name in the match programme, and the player will actually record a short video to say thank you to you, which is quite a nice little added bonus, which we didn't do last year. So, yeah, that's basically what the shirt sponsorship is.
And I believe, if required, the shirt can be signed, can it, at the end of the season?
It can. Some people like to just have the shirt so they can wear it. Some people like to have the shirt so they can frame it and have it signed. So yes, it is available to be signed as well.
And just what are the prices on that? And I guess, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the prices are £175 plus VAT per player shirt. And all they need to do is get in touch with me via email, which is emma.santer, S-A-N-T-E-R, at bromleyfc.co.uk.
Lovely to hear from Emma there, Matt. Obviously great to see some fans still getting behind that. But like you say, there are still some quite nice options still available.
There are, absolutely. So do get in touch with Emma, as she says, emma.santa@bromleyfc.co.uk, if you are interested. As actually, the player sponsorship has been picking up in the past couple of weeks, and there have been quite a few that have now gone off the market. So if you want to secure your favourite player, make sure you get in touch with Emma, and she will guide you through the process.
I was going to say Grimsby, but it's not. It's Aldershot. It's FA Trophy.
It's Aldershot first. It's FA Trophy. And for both teams, it's four games to Wembley, isn't it?
Is it only four games?
It is. I think it is. I'm pretty sure.
Blimey.
Someone might correct me on that. But
here we go.
We have obviously prepared for this podcast, woo-hoo, as always, with extensive research and many pages of notes.
Well, talk about research. We've actually got some help for this one, haven't we?
We do. So we can sit back and relax now, Jeff, because thank you to Josh, who managed to get hold of an Aldershot Town fan, and that is Pete. Big shout out to Pete, and thank you for your time on this. Pete has provided us with an update and information around all things Aldershot Town in a much better way than we could do it. So Pete, take it away.
Hello, my name's Peter O'Shea. I'm an Aldershot Town fan, and I've been asked to give a few thoughts ahead of the weekend's FA Trophy match. So if I take a look at our season up until the last nine games, it's been a really underwhelming and quite nerve-wracking, to be honest, as to what's going to become of our season. But we've seen an absolute transformation since we've seen two club legends come back in Mark Moseley and Terry Brown, and a real different kind of atmosphere that we've felt. And I think you could particularly see this on some of the stuff that come out on social media post our game with our two games with Woking over the festive period. You can really see a unity in the team spirit, and you know, we've definitely progressed and moved forward, but we've got a long, long way to go. It looks like they've undertaken a massive overhaul behind the scenes, and especially with the coaching. You're seeing the coaches, they're in the ground at sort of 6:30, 7, planning out the days and what's going to happen with regards to our games. This is really encouraging to see as a fan, and that's both our assistant manager, all the coaching team, and our goalkeeping coach. So that's really, really refreshing. And we're seeing now a lot of players who may not have been picked previously getting picked, and we're seeing a really, really different approach in a few players. We've got a young player called Jacob who came to us from Crystal Palace and has always promised to be a really good player. We've got a long way to go to safety, and that has to be our priority. But if you said to me survival in Wembley, I'd rip your arm off for that. We must be the unluckiest club with getting to Wembley. Any time that we've got to a playoff final or come really close to a trophy final or something like that, the games either haven't been played at Wembley or we've faltered at the last stage. But yeah, safety has to be our priority. But if you gave me a day out at Wembley and a win, I'd rip your arm off for that with survival as well. That'd be really, really, really good to see. If I was looking for a prediction, I think it depends on what side you play. I think you rested a few players, and obviously I'm sure that you've got promotion to the Football League as a firm priority for yourselves. But I'm going to go for a draw, but a push, I'd go for a 2-1 victory for the Shots. Which would obviously stand us in very good stead. I couldn't go without mentioning sort of Scott Wagstaff. Interesting to see he was straight into the team of the day when he went to you guys. Really, really nice fella. Had the opportunity to meet him at Dagenham away, and we were waiting after the game, waiting around, and Scott Wagstaff came out and he was speaking to us for about 10-15 minutes. Really nice guy, and I was really impressed at our games with Woking when he was running around helping out with the coaching and support on the pitch. And when he was talking to us, he didn't want to rush off. He was a really, really nice fella. So I think you've got a real gem in that. And I couldn't go without mentioning one of my favourite films that I've watched over the last few years, The Bromley Boys. I'm sure all your fans have seen that already, but a cracking film, an insight into what it's like to follow a lower level team, as you might say. All the best for the rest of the season, and I'm hoping that we're progressing through to the next round. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you.
Big thanks to Pete there, Matt. Always nice to hear from the opposition and get a bit of an insider's view of that. So greatly appreciated. I must admit, we do ask every club every week to do it. And as I'm sure you could tell by now, not all of them are forthcoming. So a big thank you to Pete and to Aldershot Town.
Thank you, Pete. Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. Now, let's rewind, Jeff, to the last FA Trophy game that we had. And that was, of course, an interesting day, I think I'll say, at Dover. And some interesting
usually
stuff.
It's off the field at Dover that's more interesting than on the field.
Well, it was interesting, but yes, it was interesting on the day. But anyway, the game itself, I think when the team sheet went out, being totally honest, obviously we kind of knew what to expect, but the fans were surprised. I think it was only Chris Bush, Joe Partington, Nathan Tormey, I think, played, and Louis Dennis, Reece Charles Cook as well. So I think at the time, at the end of the game, there was something like
I think it was 8, wasn't it?
3 players over the age of 21 or something on the pitch.
What was the stat with regards to debuts, academy, under 23s? I think, I'm sure it was
there were
like
a lot of 4 or 5 debuts, I think. And obviously, one of those, in terms of a starting debut, was Finlay Lovett, who'd come on previously against Rotherham away in the FA Cup. But he made his first start, and he got his first goal. Now, usually when you score your first goal, you can look back on it and enjoy it. But unfortunately, due to Dover's refusals to let us film, and then deciding at the last minute that they would not be filming, bless him, Finlay has not got anything to look back on for his first goal. That is so disappointing.
Nothing can say about it.
It's so disappointing. But anyway, so
on that note, it's going to be really interesting to see. I'm sure fans want to know that, you know, the team and stuff. But I think like you say, Matt, when you're four games to Wembley, you know, it's going to be a strong side, isn't it? At the same time, of course, there are players that deserve the opportunity again to play. So it's going to be a tough one.
You know, you look at that game last time and you would not have thought that it was virtually a high percentage of Bromley's under-23s, and let's not forget under-18s, because of the FA Youth Cup side that is very talented. A number of those players started.
Quite a lot of the under-23 players are the under-18s.
Exactly.
Well above their age.
And they were so brilliant on the day. They were mature, they were professional, and they beat a pretty much full strength Dover team, a first team in the National League, wherever they are in the league. They are a first team of men, right? And a lot of these players were a lot younger, and they did themselves proud. And, you know, for the clean sheet, it's unbelievable stuff. And I wanted to shout out as well, I know we've done it previously, Chris Bush, for just how he organised and marshalled that young team on that day. It was fantastic to watch. He was a real mentor to them on the pitch. And I think Byron Webster, in his interview on the podcast last week, touched on just how talented these young players are. So I wouldn't be surprised at all, Jeff, to see some of them involved tomorrow as well. And I think those that do fully deserve it.
It's going to be really, really interesting, like you say, Matt, to see that team sheet tomorrow when it goes out. But like you say, four games to Wembley. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity. Obviously, following that, Matt, we are off up north.
We're off up north, even, if I can get my words out. And we're doing a coach, aren't we? So
supporters coach, yes.
We are. We're doing the supporters coach. So if you haven't booked your place already, go to bromleyfc.co.uk and book your place on that supporters coach. It's a £30 return. Which is
That's
great
a bargain,
value.
By the way, out to Grimsby.
It is a great value. I believe we're departing at 8:30. So
USB sockets included, aren't there?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I didn't realise that the other day. I brought my charger. I could charge my phone.
That's right, yep. And those of you, you know,
said that, they won't have them, will they?
You know who you are. 8:30 sharp, please.
Is that the time?
I believe it is, yeah. So it's going to be a long day, but it'll be a great experience. It's always a good laugh.
I have to double check that.
It's always a good laugh on the supporters' coaches. So that's more encouragement with what Jeff's saying there. To the website and check it out.
Remind me, the last time we went there, was it our debut season?
It was, and we lost 4-1.
Did we change to 3-4-3 like the night before? Or
I
something
can't
like
remember.
That?
Yeah, Callum Davies scored. Do you remember? In his one and only Bromley appearance, I think.
And then he got subbed at our time.
He did. Yeah.
And I had
yeah.
to print his shirt in the Grimsby club shop beforehand because we signed him that late on the Friday.
AFC Fylde had to do that coming here a couple of years ago, so it's funny how things occur, isn't it?
Football.
But yeah, yes, indeed. But yeah, if you haven't booked already, book your place on the supporters coach now. You can do so. BromleyFC.co.uk.
Please do. I know I made a brief mention to it in this week's email, I believe. But obviously, the chairman's been fantastic, continues to support these.
Brilliant.
I would not be telling the truth if I said that they're breaking even. Because they're not.
No.
But like I say, we've had a really good uptake this year compared to previous. And, you know, we are on our way, but we definitely need as many people's support as possible, just like we do at home games. So, like I say, if you are able to join us and get on that coach on next Saturday, for Grimsby, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely, and it should be a really good game. Obviously, the game between the two teams here at Hayes Lane, 3-1 to Bromley in the end. What a game that was. And I think there might be a little bit of fuel added to the fire now because of events in that game and certain things that certain people did and then the reactions of other people. But it will be a great game, I'm sure.
Gosh,
and
nightmares about that one, Phil, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
You were up there.
I was up there as well. Absolutely soaked. We had to stop the broadcast, didn't we, Josh? And then 30 seconds, I kid you not, maybe less, before Michael Cheek scored, we were back on air, back on the commentary, and the goal went in. It was just, you know when it's meant to
Honestly,
be.
You could just about see it on the highlights. Like, you guys are in such, I don't know what is going on.
What was my
there?
Phrase? James Alabi came up to me the next day and said he loved it as a biblical conditions or something. And he came up to me, he was just laughing. He just walked towards me laughing. I said, what's up? He said, your commentary was brilliant. So I thought that was quite nice of James.
Makes a change. Big thank you to everybody who tuned in for this episode. Big thank you for putting up with us as always.
As always, yes.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure. Josh, thank you very much for everything you do behind the scenes. See you all at Aldershot. If not, see you at Grimsby. Come on, Bromley. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.